Nadine, why don't you tell us how you got your start in the music business?
At first, I would like to thank you for having me on your show. I started at the age of 10 when I wrote my very first original composition and played it to a live audience. And ever since, I used to write poems here and there. And by the age of 15, I started taking piano lessons, and that's when I started to take music on a more serious level.
Mm-hmm. And what was the catalyst that got you to become an artist?
The catalyst that made me become an artist. Well, there wasn't this changing or a limestone in my life that happened. It's just that whenever I wanted to express my feelings or I'm in a dark place, I used to always resort back to music. I used to just go to my room, play the piano, and that's when I started even playing the guitar, because I used to realize that playing the guitar, you can even express your emotions through it. And ever since, I realized that I can find my actual resonance in music. And since then, I started writing my own songs. And it all started with my very first original song. It's called Holy Freedom. Since my mom is Syrian, we used to go through these events and relate to it in a different manner than everyone else. Because my grandmother, my grandfather was there, and so we used to check on them on a daily basis. It used to frustrate me that they had no water, no electricity. They were in the middle of a war, and they're old people. And that's when I started writing my very first song, which is called Holy Freedom. And I realized that I can express and relate to music in a way that I can't relate to anything else in my life. So, yeah.
Nice. Now, I read your bio, and you mentioned that you love performing just as much as you love playing Red Alert on your PlayStation. That's my all-time favorite game. The whole Command and Conquer series. I love it. No, but one thing I remember about Red Alert 1, because I had it myself on PlayStation 1 a long time ago, and the music on that was as good as the game.
If you remember,
it's just as iconic. And so what I was wondering is, do you take, inspiration from video game music?
Well, I would love to say yes, but the answer is no. Back then, all I cared about was collecting these gold, you remember?
Oh, yeah. And
Purple Army and...
remember the Tesla coils?
I don't really recall it. All that I recall is that because I have only one brother and we used to fight every day. I used to wake up 6 in the morning just in order to play before he wakes up.
I used to collect the gold and take the Tesla coils and then make what I call a wall of death, so nobody could touch me.
I mean,
think about it. I mean, video games have good music to them.
Yeah, that's completely true. But I found my inspiration at an early stage in my life is when I started drawing and composing some art pictures. And I studied architecture. I graduated as an architect engineer. And I found myself finding this interrelation between the two of them, because of architecture, I can find the harmony, the rhythm, the structure, and the concept of the song. And that is why I truly have passion now for both, architecture and music. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I was gonna bring up architecture because you are an architect, and I've noticed a lot of musicians are. As their day job, I could probably count half a dozen of my personal friends who are professional musicians but are also architects. In different parts of the world. I know one person in Italy, a couple people in Chicago, and so on and so forth. So do you think that there is a connection between the art of architecture and the art of songwriting? Because they both have certain styles to them.
Yeah, that's completely true. I agree with that 100%. If you first ask me what feels more like work, is it architecture or music? I would definitely say architecture. But along the way, architecture taught me discipline. It taught me how to be dedicated to what I'm working at, and it taught me stability. And that helped me a lot with music because I found this kind of balance in my life. Because being an architect, it's a definite juggling out between the two. But architecture truly paved my way into music. Like, without it, I don't know if I would be capable of being a singer and a songwriter, in addition to being an architect. Because apart from the inspiration of how to compose the song, how to find the concept of the song, how to find the rhythm and the structure, it taught me in many ways how to manage my time. And this is what I'm capable of doing both at the same time. It like create this balance that I need to believe in myself and the challenges that I face on a daily basis. And the pressure I'm just in is an opportunity.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Now you've got an array of styles. I mean, to you, I've heard a few different takes on some things that you've done. What do you consider your primary genre? Is it like EDM or pop, or do you consider yourself more of a rock person?
Well, you see, every EDM song that I composed so far was initiated from a folk acoustic rock song. Like my latest release, Sweet Escape, it was originally written on the guitar, and then with a collaboration with the music producers in Germany, it turned into an EDM song. My bass in music will always remain the folk acoustic, and it's always where I'm gonna lean to the most. But ever since I entered the scene of EDM, I fell in love with it, and I just loved how it merges between the sad melody of the vocalist with the uplifting music of the whole song, you know. So I'm not really sure. I'm in love with both, but if you ask me where I'd lean to, I'd always lean to the acoustic folk, because this is where I initiate my EDM songs. They don't come out of the blue. They start with the guitar and the piano and in a very slow, groovy way, and then it turns into these uplifting music that you hear on the radio.
Now, when you write a song, when you first start writing a song, depending on what the mood is or whatever your thoughts are at the time, does that dictate whether you start off on a piano or a guitar?
Well, recently after we moved to our new house, the piano is placed in the sitting room, and that gives me like a really problems when you want to compose, you just want to be by yourself, you want to be isolated. And that's where the guitar comes in handy, because you can just grab it and jam, and just all your emotions will be poured out on the guitar. And so, yeah, it depends on how I feel, but more often on how I play, you know. Like lately I've been able to play the guitar way better than playing the piano, and that helps in the composition, you know. So it's not about what to play, it's just about how I feel and where I am at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're from Amman, Jordan, right? You're currently there, are you not?
Yes, okay. I am.
What is the music scene like in Jordan?
Okay, the music scene, well, of course, it's mainly concentrated on the Eastern music, like the more Oriental music and these kind of stuff. But lately, you can see the EDM scene, the pop music, every commercial music, it's played on the radio all over town, you know. But what was your question?
What's the music scene like in Jordan?
To be honest with you, it's not like we don't have that ultimate support that you get in the States or you get in Europe. Like, for most people here, being a musician or a singer-songwriter is not sufficient enough to call yourself as a seen person in your region. And they always believe that you need to have this primary job of being an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever in order to have a position in town or in where you stand. But when it comes to music, like, they do listen, they do appreciate music, but do they appreciate the actual musicians? I'm not really sure about that. Lately, it's like with everything that has been going on, we can see some of a change. Like, they are supporting us, they are supporting the indie artists, they're listening to our tunes, they're purchasing our music, and it's different than what it was earlier on when I very first started music, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I always think that the way to gauge a music scene in a location is to check two things: the bar scene at night, or the club scene, and the radio stations in that area. So, having said that, what are the radio stations like and the club scene like in Amman?
Well, to be honest, the radio stations here are very supportive of indie artists. Like, if you actually do good music, they're willing to play it. Like, we have this radio station called Play 99.6, and it's one of the best radio stations in town. And they're playing my latest release around 400 times per week, which is considered amazing compared to the kind of music they play, which is commercial music of Beyonce and Rihanna and these amazing artists. So when it comes to radio stations, they definitely do have a share in putting your music out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the mark of a true scene, because see, the radio stations in the US, the mainstream ones kind of cater to indie artists, but they do it like, okay, Sunday night from 9:30 to 9:45, we're going to play unsigned acts, and then we're going to go back to Justin Bieber, you know? But like here, if you want to break out as an indie artist or to even just get heard from the start, you got to go to the college stations, you know, like the stations that the universities run.
That's true. When I used to apply to radio stations in the States, I used to realize that if I applied to the college through like blogs and stuff like that, they used to write that indie radio stations or internet online radio stations or college radio stations, but they never really wrote something about these big radio stations that play your commercial music all over the States, you know?
Yeah, you that's sadly that's true. I mean, you basically have to go through people like us or through colleges, you know. But I mean, you know,
come on, your station is giving like an amazing opportunity to all indie artists around the globe. It's because of you, it's why we try and work hard to reach people. It's through you and your stations like you that help us reach a greater audience.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Well, see, like our goal here is to like hopefully make a big enough splash that the mainstream stations will copy it. You know, because hopefully, you know, our goal is to make a big enough splash so that the mainstream stations here copy us.
That's gonna happen in the future, I guarantee you.
Oh yeah, because I mean, well, think about it. Most mainstream stations are followers; they're not leaders. They're gonna go where the money is.
Of course. That's the thing about the whole music industry that, like, to be very honest with you, what I'm trying to do in the music scene and who I am as an artist from the Middle East, I just want to like redefine what music is all about. Because lately, to be very honest, like look at Rihanna, look at her latest music video, look at the people out there who are supposed to be an inspiration for others. They're not doing anything that has to do with music. All they are thinking about or doing is how to get more money, how to stand out from the crowd, but not in a good matter at all. And that's that we're having here as well in the Middle East, because the emerging artists that we have lately, they all care about looks. They're doing things that are so out of the ordinary and out of the borders and not convenient for their fans, you know. And that's the sad thing about the music industry nowadays. It's about anything but music.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And another sad thing too is that bands and artists get pigeonholed real easy. So if they sound like somebody else, they're going to get labeled as, you know, a clone of that artist. So you know, and another thing too that I think independent artists always get pigeonholed in is by location. Like all Italian artists, you know, are depressed emo bands, you know, and all British, you know, artists are, you know, clones of the Beatles and the Knack and, you know, the Clash and stuff like that, you know. And another thing is like areas like, you know, the Middle East, I mean, most places I don't see people talking about it, but you see a steady stream of artists quietly make it from that area. So if you could explain, you know, in a few sentences, you know, like what, you know, what the scene you're coming from, you know, the Jordan scene, you know, what would that be like? Where do you picture it exploding? Because I feel it has a good chance of going global, just like a few other scenes I could think of.
Well, I'm not really sure at the moment of where I stand when it comes to this matter, but I believe like Jordan is going to be my starting point and my limestone in my career. And the EDM scene here is like developing just like any other country around the globe. And I believe that it doesn't really matter what scene you're in or what country you're in. All that matters is who you are and what you're capable of doing. I used to believe like wherever you are, it sets the borders of what you can achieve, you know? But that's not the case. Like, I used to think that, come on, compared to the world, living in Jordan doesn't have this much of capabilities and opportunities and running into, like, huge music producers like it is abroad. But coming to think about it, it's not about where you are and it's not about the opportunities that are available. It's, you create opportunities from ordinary situations, and your determination is going to take you along the long run and not the state or the genre you're dealing with, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of the bands that I can think of off the top of my head from Jordan, like El Morabis, Autostrad, you know, a few of them. I mean, it there is a booming Jordanian, you know, music scene coming out there. It's just, you know, like Italy and like Germany, it's just under the radar just a little bit, you know. And in a way, I think in the age of the internet, that's a good thing because you can make it but still retain your street credibility.
That's 100% true. I agree with that.
So, well, let's talk about what you're doing now. What are you working on right at this moment? What can we expect from you?
I'm working on multiple tracks. I recorded a track with the PC Pat and Claude Santo, and we signed it with one of the major underground record labels. And it's supposed to be released in a couple of months. It's called Ain't No Love. I'm working on another track with Charlemagne and Marcus Current, the people I've worked with in my latest release, Sweet Escape. I'm working on two other tracks with them, and one of them is Oriental. So it's going to be kind of interesting to try kind of mix. And I'm working with another DJ at the moment. He's called Muhammad Al-Alami, and he's supported by one of the major EDM artists like Armin van Buuren and Paul van Dyk. So I'm excited about that track as well. And beside that, I want to release very soon my latest acoustic folk rock original track. It's called Let Go. And we'll see how that goes.
So you're getting into folk a little bit too.
Yes, I'm never going to let go of the folk acoustic rock. I can't do that, you know? I'm in love with both scenes, but my alarm tone and my origin will always go back to the folk acoustic rock. So, yeah.
So, well, let me ask you this. Who are your favorite folk artists?
I'm a huge fan of Tracy Chapman.
Oh, I love her.
But I'm a huge fan, like, Tracy Chapman and of course, the Beatles. No one can say anything about the Beatles. And lately, I've been listening to a lot of artists from the EDM scene as well, like Emma Hewitt. I love her voice, although she's from the commercial scene and the mainstream, but I'm in love with her vocals. And James Morrison from the acoustic folk rock, and especially the covers he's been doing lately. I don't know if you heard, what was it? Gangster's Paradise, the cover he did. Oh my God.
Yeah, I've heard it. I mean, it's totally different.
Amazing. So yeah, I never limit myself to an artist or two, you know. I like to listen to a bunch of artists in order to keep the inspiration going. But these people, like, they're on the top of my list.
Nice. Now, how are you using the internet and social media to promote your brand? Let's face it. As bad as it sounds, I mean, all artists are brands nowadays with the internet.
Yeah, I got you. Well, to be honest with you, social media has been playing a big part. And now when it comes to promoting my music, but actually getting an opportunity for collaborations with the music producers, It's crazy how the internet is helping indie artists nowadays, because first of all, we can reach people like you guys to make us reach a greater audience. We can contact music producers to have a chance to listen to our tracks online without downloading anything. So it's not about just promoting our music, rather than also being able to reach people that we wouldn't be able to reach in ordinary situations, you know? Like, without this conversations would not be taking place right now.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I mean, if we were still in the print age, I mean, you know, I mean, we wouldn't even meet, and we wouldn't even meet the right people.
That's true. Although there's always pros and cons for everything, you know, like the presence of the internet made people that, like, for example, they're not worthy of being emerging artists, but all of a sudden they're blooming out of nowhere for silly reasons. And you have other people because they don't have enough money to do like a music video or enough money to promote on a radio or promote a Facebook post. They're like amazing artists, indie artists, but they don't have the capability of going forward because of the internet. Like, I don't know how to put it in words, but I don't know if you got me.
No, I totally get you. It's like some people that totally deserve, to have their music world, you know, famous on a global level, suddenly fall off a cliff, and they never seem to quite make it when they deserve to. I see that like all the time. For every artist that I talk to that makes it, man, I can list off 100 that don't. That I'm totally baffled at the why they're not all over. You know, I mean, but do you think maybe? Like, I've got a theory about this. Let me tell you and see if you agree. I think a lot of that is that the people who are better promoters and not so good of musicians, you know, like, their stuff gets up front because they're better at promoting it. And then a lot of people who are, you know, like, uber-talented musicians and stuff, you know, the ones that fall by the wayside are the ones that don't know how to utilize the internet.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself, you know? It's crazy, and that's what I've been talking with you about earlier, about the music scene, is that there are so many things that are being unfair at the moment, because a musician, all he has to do is write good music, perform good music, and just deliver the tunes he feels, you know? It's not his job to promote and to seek people and this kind of stuff that you're talking about. And that's the problem, is people forgot about composing, they forgot about feeling the music and just performing these beautiful tunes, and they're just focusing on promoting the only track they did their whole life. And they sometimes make it. You've got these people that are recording a whole album and spending days in the studio, and you've got this other person who recorded this track and spending a whole year on just promoting it. So it's true. I couldn't have said
that. No, and you know what? I mean, do you think maybe that's a sign of the global culture we're in now? Because what you said actually reminded of something, me of something that's totally off subject, but actually if you think about it, it's totally on subject. And like, I have these two kids that live down the street from my house, and they're 11 and 12, and I ask them every once in a while, like, how was school, how was this, how was that, and they don't care about school because they're going to be in the NBA. You know, they're gonna, you know, one even has his team picked out. He's gonna be on the Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
And I'm like, I mean, you know, okay, so how many people apply for that job? You know, I mean, no, but I mean, do you see what I'm saying? That's totally kind of what you're talking about. We're more interested in becoming stars than good at what we do.
That's 100% what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it's true sweet truth, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, well, particularly the one that wants to be in the Chicago Bulls, he sucks at basketball. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, Dennis Rodman could, like, take him on after a four-day Coke binge. you know, like, this guy sucks. You know, you know, I mean, but he thinks he's going to, you know, and I don't even think he thinks that it's because he loves basketball. He loves the Nike endorsements and, you know, the commercials and the girls and the fame and the fortune, you know, and all this stuff. So, I mean, like, but I think, like, what you're talking about is the exact same thing on a certain level. People spend 5 minutes working on what they're actually doing, and then the rest of their life, you know, claiming they did it.
Yeah, it becomes, that's 100% true. it's what's going on lately, and it's funny, but everyone gets tempted to be that well-known person, that person under the spotlight. No one can deny that. Everyone would love that. But it's about the way of getting there. You want to get the shortcut and just the attention and just be famous? Or do you want to take the long run and actually be recognized for the music and not for your looks?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And if you think about it, technology is kind of a devil's advocate for that too, because you could go online and get a complete Pro Tool set up for $200. And then you could get the laptop to run it with for another $200.
Yeah, and lately, because I'm dealing with these music producers, I never knew there was actually something called ghost producers, you know? I was shocked, you know, that these great artists who are known for their songwriting skills actually have ghost producers behind them who are never known and sign these contracts to never tell their names out loud, and these other artists get these credits. It is crazy, insane, and I think I'm going to stick to architecture right now.
No, I know exactly what we're talking about, because there's a ghost everything in this business. I mean, I've even found out later on that some of the more famous acts that we've interviewed or covered didn't play the instruments.
What?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I'm not gonna mention, you know, names like Motley Crue or anything, but I'll beep that out. But no, I mean, like, you'll find out later that they didn't even play on some of their music. You know, I mean, not that they're not musicians, but they either don't get along or don't feel like it. You know? So they'll have somebody else come in and do the drums or the bass, and you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's totally sad. And to find out that it's you know, bands and artists that are at the top, you know, or considered legends doing it too. It's, you know, it's just sad. What's really sad, that it's a song that kind of sucks anyway. But I mean, it's, you know, but that's neither here nor there. That goes back into what we're talking about, you know, spending 5 minutes working on something and spending the rest of your life grabbing the accolades for it.
Oh my God.
You know? But think about it, because I mean, like, with your song, like Sweet Escape, that sounds like that took some time. Like, yes. there was a writing stage, a planning stage, you know, a construction stage, a recording stage, and a mastering stage. Like, everything, you know, took your blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to do, you know, and not just of you, but of other people too, to make it something, you know. And it's great that there's still artists out there that will do that, but what I'm seeing more and more, as bigger as, you know, the bigger Jammer Direct gets and the bigger people that we talk to, you know, we stay with the indie crowd because that's where the conviction is. That's not where, you know, people who are just sick of the business and just take the money and run, or just are addicted to fame, go. You know? So having said that, let me ask you this. If Virgin or Atlantic or Capitol or Sony called you up and said they wanted to sign you up, and it was going to be the standard first record contract, would you take it? But you had to capitulate to everything that entails, good, bad, and ugly. Like if they tell you your hair's too different and they want to, you know, make you look more like artist X or something, or if they want to come in and tell you you're singing something wrong, they can do it.
Well, look, I wouldn't say that, wouldn't be tempted to say yes, because I would have an opportunity to put my music out there and, like, reach the world with everything I've been trying so hard to do. But if I reach a point where I have to change what I've been building my whole life and to change the authenticity of my music and who I am, then I'm just signing myself to a downhill of changing music into business, and that's not what I'm looking for, and that's not passion, you know. Might as well just sign for a job at the Virgin or whatever record label it is, and just do what I'm told, you know. Music is my resonance, and I wouldn't let anything harm that, because we live in a world full of chaos, full of everything ugly nowadays, and just having this one thing in your life that you can grab and hold on to and actually give you resonance and peace, you can't damage that, you know, you can't let that go just because of some big record label just approached their way into you, you know. I think I'm going to really have to study that before I give any answers about this. Like, study more and, yeah.
Yeah, it would definitely be, like, an agonizing decision either way, I think. Because think of it, like, they're guaranteeing you that you will go global, but then what's the cost? And I've seen record labels do this to where, okay, they'll start out saying a few little things like tweak the bridge of this song, or could you add another harmony to this? And then, you know, 2 weeks later, they're picking out your clothes, you know, yeah. because, you know, the more they find out they can get away with, the more they're going to take.
Of course. And we should all remember that we're not going to put our music out there and reach the globe in the expense of losing who we are and losing ourselves, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So where do you want your music to be headed to, like, within the next, say, 12 months?
I would love, like, my song being played in these huge festivals, you know? I don't really imagine myself performing as much as my music being played. Because I'm in love with songwriting and I'm in love with composing just as much as I enjoy singing. So I would love my music being played in festivals and, like, in Ibiza or these huge festivals in Europe. I would love that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Do you have, like, any plans, like, to make a tour happen or to make a, you know, like, a club tour in Europe or something? Or
I would love that, but not in the time being. Like, it's a funny thing that goes on with me is that whenever I have the opportunity of performing or the opportunity of sitting down and jamming and writing a new song, I would always enjoy just sitting and composing new songs. And I don't know if that means I should just stick to songwriting or not, but I enjoy just composing music and just composing and writing more than actually performing them in this time being, because I still have a long way. I have a lot of pressure going on, right? Between the two, also, like, performing would add a huge asset to my life, you know. But I would definitely love playing in the future, like a global world tour. That would be amazing.
Nice. Now, I think actually, like, here in the States, you would go really good in New York and Miami. Like, really, I mean, like, I think you could, like, take those places down. You know, serious. No, because the EDM, like, Miami has a great EDM scene, and New York has a thriving pop scene at the moment. And I think you could, like, you know, if you did, like, a tour up the East Coast, you know, starting in Miami and ending up in New York, I think you could close those places down. You know, honestly, and they both have some really, really awesome clubs too.
That's so nice of you to say. I would love to go to the States someday and start in Miami, just like you said, and maybe meet. That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, stay out of Myrtle Beach, though, because that place sucks. No, not unless you want to learn some Skynyrd songs and stuff. But, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I would just, like, have the bus go right through that place. You know. So, but, well, where can we find you online?
Like, you can follow all my social media network on Instagram, on Twitter, on my official website and my Facebook fan page under the name Nadine Zurekat. And you can always get in touch with me on any of these accounts, as I usually reply on everything that I get as soon as I can.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Nadine, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
So much for having me. I had the perfect interview ever.
Thanks.
Hangout.